It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy your day, the Refreshing Way.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast, and a happy Sabbath to you. The Bible says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 138, I forgot the verse, but Psalms 131, I think, says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So we're glad to be with you on this Sabbath, and we would like to remind you that we will not be having a sermon today, but this will be in place of it. We won't be having wellness. We're going to be talking about the subject of, with so many churches, is God confused? With so many churches, is God confused? At this time, my wife, Undreamed Of, will have our opening prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, loving Lord, we come before you on your holy Sabbath day, and we're thankful for this time and opportunity to be able to do so. We pray for your spirit to come and teach us the things we need to know as you anoint the words of our pastor and fill him with your spirit. And help us all, Lord, to grow in grace and wisdom as we draw close to you. These things are prayed and asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ. All music is by the Master's Chorale, except for the theme song. It's my brother Stanton Flemons singing that opening theme song. All right, brothers and sisters, it's about time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
today. With so many churches, is God confused? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the truth. We thank you for love. We thank you for the love of Jesus manifested in so many ways. Paramount would be the death on the cross to save lawbreakers like us and make us holy people like him. We ask that you would be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, on our last time together, we learned that Isaiah 28:9, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? The answer is humble people, because they were weaned. The Bible tells us, David says, I am, my heart is not haughty, my eyes aren't lofty, he's not looking above people. Then he said, my soul is as a weaned child, okay? So that means if you want to understand the Bible, you have to be humble, okay? That's a powerful, powerful attribute that can only come from Christ. There can be what the Bible calls a voluntary humility. You will have people that will act humble, but they're proud on the inside, friends. You have to be humble to understand Scripture, because the bottom line is you might be wrong in what you believe. And so if you're wrong in what you believe, you've got to be humble enough to be able to say, you know, I was wrong, or I am wrong. There's not too many humble preachers, brothers and sisters, that will do that in any denomination. It says we have to be, is in review, we have to be weaned from the milk. The Bible tells us that milk is the first principles of the oracles of God in Hebrews 5:12, and we drink milk as babes in 1 Peter 2:2. So the bottom line, brothers and sisters, what that means is that it deals with a relationship with Christ, because that's the first step. It's at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. The Bible says that we have to believe. That's the first step. Believe what God says, and we can be in sin, but believe, and then that's the beginning. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 8, it tells us if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted. So the milk. And we're drawn. You see, we're drawn with loving kindness. We're not drawn with doctrine. We're not drawn with prophecy. We're drawn with loving kindness. And it says from the breast. Now, I didn't even go over the breast, but the bottom line is the breast, brothers and sisters, is connects with the mother, is part of the mother. And prior to bottle feeding, we all fed from the breast, okay? So we're drawn from the breast. Now, a woman in the Bible is a church, okay? A woman in the Bible is a church. How do we know? Jeremiah 6:2, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. Okay, so think about being drawn from the breast, drawn from a church. Okay, it says drawn from the breast. Well, the breast is the mother, and a mother is a female. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. And Isaiah 51:16 tells us that say unto Zion, thou art my people. So the daughter of Zion, so since Zion is God's people, the daughter of Zion would be God's people throughout the ages, because a daughter is an offspring. Okay, so God's church throughout the ages is represented in Bible prophecy and symbolism as a woman. That's Old Testament, you might say. Well, what about the New Testament? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, it says, I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So even the New Testament places God's church, friends, as a female, as a woman in symbolism, okay? So if you want to understand the Bible, God is saying you have to be willing to walk away from your mother church, okay? I didn't say you have to walk away from your mother church. I said you have to be willing to walk away from your mother church. In other words, Jesus had to walk away from his mother church. The Jewish people were the people of God, brothers and sisters. They were the chosen ones. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that was the offspring. It says he came unto his own in John 1, and his own received him not, okay? So a lot of times what we're going to learn is that we have this mistaken belief that once God's church, always God's church. That's not the truth, brothers and sisters. And we've seen that on several occasions. The Jewish church was God's church, but God replaced it with the Christian church. Then the Christian church was God's church, the disciples teaching, preaching all throughout Asia and Europe, okay? But then they allowed leaders to come in that wanted to pull tradition in above the word of God, and that organized church became the Roman Catholic Church, brothers and sisters. So God had to leave that alone, and then he raised up the Protestant Reformation, okay? The Protestant Reformation with Martin Luther, Zwingli, Hus, Jerome, all of these great men. This Protestant Reformation is probably one of the lost gems of history. It's not really lost, but most people don't study it. They know they're Protestants if they're Baptist, Methodist, and Presbyterian, but they don't know what it means. Protestant meant you protest. Protest against what? Protest against the arbitrary authority of the church. Okay, that's what that means. And you protest against the encroachment of the civil government to try to control your conscience. That's what Protestantism is. And some of you who know about a book called The Great Controversy, go read the chapter, The Protest of the Princes. Protest of the Princes. It will tell you that the principles of Protestantism were a protest against a church's claim that because we're the church, because we're the remnant, because we're the one ordained by God, we're always the church. That's, we're supposed to protest against that. Jesus said through his Old Testament scriptures, them that honor me, I will honor, friends. And so that's, as we get into our subject today, you know, with so many churches, is God confused? We need to understand that no church, I don't care what church it is, I don't care what day it worships on, is guaranteed to be in favor with God no matter what it does. You see, that would be arbitrary authority. That goes against the foundation of Protestantism. And guess what? When you talk about the end of time, we are to go, we are to stand in faithfulness, and the enemies of God will be the beast and his image. Okay? Well, what is the image of the beast? That same book tells us the image of the beast is that form of apostate Protestantism. And it goes on to tell us what it does. It calls on the aid of the civil power to enforce its dogma, so on and so forth. Apostate Protestantism, brothers and sisters, that means people who say they're Protestants but don't follow Protestant principles. That's going to be the greatest enemies of the truth. Okay, so that means that our problems are going to come from within Christianity, within the church, not so much without the church at first. Okay, so with that being said, brothers and sisters, we have to be willing to follow Jesus. There's a beautiful song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. You know, there's a verse in that song that says, though no one join me, still I will follow. The truth is not popular, brothers and sisters, and that's one of the reasons why people don't follow it, because we're crowd followers. But I'm here to tell you that if you want to follow the crowd, then look at the universe, because the vast majority of holy beings, the majority of beings that are, the majority of beings are holy in this universe, because we're just one grain of sand on a seashore of worlds. And then you have innumerable angels, with all of us having a guardian angel. There's more of them, way more of them than there are of us. So if you want to follow the crowd, look at the universal crowd. But on this earth, friends, Bible says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And it says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. So the Bible teaches that it's not what the crowd does here on this earth that will lead you into the right path. Okay, now this is a nice introduction for our verse, because the very next verse, so let's summarize. Who's going to understand truth in the Bible? Humble people, people who have a relationship with Christ, okay? That means they were weaned from the milk, And they were drawn. They're following Jesus because he drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. You know, it says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Okay. And they're willing to be drawn, even if it takes them away from their mother church. Okay. That's what it means. That's the first step. So you'll see that understanding truth is more of an issue of your attitude. Now let's deal with the aptitude. What do we do? How do we study? The Bible says for precept, this is Isaiah 28:10, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Okay? So notice that you saw something just by looking at the scriptures, the sentence. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. What was that? Well, that was a doubling because the precept thing and the line thing. That was the precepts was doubled, line was doubled, and therefore you have a doubling twice. Okay, that's what you have. Why does God double things twice? Let's go to the book of Genesis. Hold on a sec. Let me just see. Let me get you the right verse. Genesis 41:32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So why does God double things twice? He doubles things twice to show that this method, this way of looking at the scriptures, is established by God, and you can learn it quickly. Isn't that nice? That's why God doubles twice, because he'll shortly bring it to pass. You do not have to have a theology degree. You don't have to go to seminary to understand the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you have a theology degree and you've gone to seminary, you probably don't understand the Bible. Okay, now that sounds crazy, that sounds strange, but that's just like saying if you've gone to medical school, you don't know how to reverse diabetes if you lean on what you learned from medical school. If you go to medical school, you don't know how to reverse cancer if you lean strictly on what you learned from medical school. Now, many who have gone to medical school have also gone to the school of biblical wellness. That's why we're teaching a school of holistic biblical wellness. They've gone to that school in some form or fashion, and they know how to reverse these conditions without chemotherapy and those kind of things, which don't reverse those conditions. So you understand what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? If you want to understand the law of God, you probably don't want to go to law school, okay? Because they teach you how to make the guilty look innocent and the innocent look guilty. And, you know, it just depends on how well you can lawyer and argue a point and convince a jury. It's showmanship, a lot of it, brothers and sisters, and that's what law has become. And God is trying to help us understand that we have to have a higher goal than that. So I want to go back now to Isaiah. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. This method that we're learning came from God himself, and you can learn it quickly. You're going to learn something in this sermon that's not taught in all the years of seminary, brothers and sisters, because if it was taught in all the years of seminary, then there would not be all these different beliefs in a single church, and there wouldn't be all these various beliefs in various churches. Christianity is one of the only religions that uses the same book and comes up with thousands of different interpretations. You see, we're going to learn that the Bible teaches that the Word of God, I believe that's in, let me just, that's in Peter. Let's read about it real quickly. All right, let's go to 2 Peter 1:20. It says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. You can't interpret the Bible the Seventh-day Adventist way and be right. You can't interpret the Bible the Baptist way and be right. You can't interpret the Bible the Presbyterian way and be right. There's only one right. And if you follow right, you'll be in the truth, okay? But you don't say, okay, well, this is the Adventist way, Baptist way, Presbyterian way, Catholic way. God is the way. Jesus is the way. Okay? And as we follow him, we will be in the truth. We will be in the right church. Okay? That's how this works. We don't study the Bible with our own private interpretation. And I will tell you, private interpretations have come into every denomination, brothers and sisters, Sunday keeping and Sabbath keeping. And I'm here to tell you that it takes away from the truth, and we are to follow the truth. And we already learned that when a church teaches that it and only it is the remnant, and no matter what it does, no matter how bad it gets, God will never forsake it or whatever. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible tells us, to the faithful, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But if we are not doing, living, teaching the truth, brothers and sisters, that promise does not apply. And that's what a lot of people don't believe. Remember, true Protestantism protests against the claim of arbitrary authority. That's what the principles of Protestantism are, that a church, no matter what it does, is the remnant or is the faithful or whatever the case might be. So you're looking at me. I'm teaching to everybody. You got some of you all are Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, maybe Roman Catholic. Maybe you've left church altogether. The bottom, and some of you are Seventh-day Adventists. All of this applies to all of us. We don't remain in God's favor just because we were once in God's favor. We have to be faithful. All right. We're back in Isaiah 28 now, and it says precept must be upon precept. Okay, what does that mean? Well, if you go to the next chapter 29, and go down to verse 13, this is what it says. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. So that would teach you right there that a precept is a teaching, because the fear of God is taught by the precepts of men, is what it says. So this is not a good thing, to teach the principles of God by the precepts of men. So if you also want to make a comparison, brothers and sisters, this is compared to Matthew chapter 20. No, it's Matthew chapter 15. You go to Matthew chapter 15, and we look at verse 8. Matthew 15, and we look at verse 8. We'll start with verse 7. Matthew 15 and verse 7 says, ye hypocrites. Now, he's talking to the church. Well did Isaiah, that's Isaiah, prophesy of you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain, listen carefully, do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Brothers and sisters, I want you all to understand, whenever we teach as a doctrine something that man has made up, the worship of God is vain. We make God's worship vain, okay? So you've got to say, okay, well, whatever we teach, it must be therefore. If we teach it as a doctrine. Now, if I tell you, I have an opinion. My opinion is that I can go and open a lion's mouth when I get to heaven and stick my head in and examine his tongue or whatever, and you're not going to go, and bite my head off. That is an opinion. I don't have a scripture to substantiate that, but I can tell you that it doesn't go against God's word, because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, there'll be no more death, sorrow, crying, neither shall there be any more pain. And I promise you, if he bit me, there would be most likely death, there would be sorrow, there would be crying, and there would be pain, okay? So I'm able to give you my opinion to say that I can go and put my head in a lion's mouth and it won't bite me, because it doesn't disagree with scripture. But if I teach it as a doctrine, then that means I have to have the word of God in my defense. Now, I could say I have the word of God in my defense on that, because there'll be no more death, sorrow, crying, neither shall be there any more pain. But sometimes we have opinions as to what things are going to be like or whatever in heaven, and that's okay, as long as it doesn't disagree with scripture. But don't teach it as a doctrine. This is my, you will hear me say, my understanding. Like, for example, I have told you that I believe at one point that Jesus was in the form of an angel. And that is one of the reasons why. He was God the Son of God, but God as well. That's what that, you know, that doesn't take away his divinity, but he wasn't known by the angels of his true position. And that's why I believe Lucifer, when that true position was made known, became jealous, okay? And that's what started the sin problem, right? So that is, you know, that's what I believe. That's my opinion, okay? Now, we do know that Lucifer was wanting to be like the Most High. We know he started rebellion in heaven. All those things are in the Bible. But to give you the fact that I think Jesus was in the form of an angel, that's my opinion. I don't teach that as a doctrine. I tell you that's my opinion. You see, so there's okay, you can use your sanctified imagination and belief. Just make sure the belief does not disagree with Scripture. Now, that doesn't, because he's called Michael the Archangel, okay? That's the supreme angel, but he's Jesus. And I would like to say that a lot of Christians don't believe Jesus was Michael the Archangel only because Jehovah's Witnesses believe that, and they don't believe Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching the truth. Now, I don't believe Jehovah's Witnesses have all the truth either, but a doctrine is not wrong because Jehovah's Witnesses believe it. It's wrong because it goes against the Word of God. So the Roman Catholic Church, which is against God's Word, believes in reverence in the sanctuary, at least they used to. So are we not supposed to be reverent in the sanctuary because the Catholics believe that? Now, we don't do the reverence in the same way, but the point being made is they believe that we should be reverent in the sanctuary. So we don't accept a doctrine or reject a doctrine because another church teaches it. It's all based on God's Word. All right, let's go back to now Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10. Precept must be upon precept. What this is teaching is that, think about a stack of books, okay? Think about a stack of books. A precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. That means you can stack your books. That means that from Genesis to Revelation, there is no discrepancies in the principles of the Bible. You know, I've told you my story many times about how, as I actually talked to my friend, I tell him about this story, and he didn't remember, but we were selling books, and I'm just only mentioning it again just for the emphasis here. We're selling books. And as teenagers, we called it canvassing or colportering. And I went into a Muslim mosque, knocked on the door. These gentlemen answered the door, invited us in. To my surprise, they were black. I didn't know anything about the Nation of Islam. They invited us in and set us down and heard our canvas and paid for our books, bought the books. Then they took the picture of the white face of Jesus on Steps to Christ and ripped it up in our face. Well, it was their book. They had bought it. And they pulled out a Bible, and they began to show us how one disciple, they were trying to show us the Bible had discrepancies in what it taught. They showed how one disciple said that when they were walking through the tombs, one man came out like a monster, and they were scared, and they ran. And then another disciple said there were two men that came out. See, they said they slammed the book down and said the white man doesn't know how to count, so on and so forth, and he's deceiving you, and the Bible is a white man's book, and it, you know, whatever they. And even at that young age, I understood that. I was probably 15 years old. I understood that the Bible doesn't say there aren't any mistakes. The Bible says there aren't any mistakes in the teachings. And the reality is, I use this phrase, that I'm a small man from a standpoint of the average man's size. Okay, so if I see somebody that's bigger than me, I might run. Okay, if God says just get out of there, you know. Now we know there's no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out all fear, but that doesn't mean God might not tell you to get out of some places. Okay, so I might run, but if I'm 6'5", 300 pounds, 400 pounds, and somebody comes against me, I might not run because I've got to just sit on that guy. He's going to, surrender. But if two of them, I said, well, I'm dealing with this guy, somebody else could hit me on the back of the head, so I might run too. So what am I going to say if I'm the first guy? Well, I'm going to say I saw a man because I'm smaller and I ran. Well, maybe the other disciple was bigger and he waited around sizing that guy up, but then another man came. Well, when we tell our story, we're going to remember our story, and then we're going to remember that when we came back, that man or those two men were sitting at the feet of Jesus. So the teaching is Jesus is stronger than the devil, and there is no discrepancy in the teaching between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even though there were some discrepancies as to what happened. There's no discrepancy in the teaching. The Bible says what is consistent is the teaching. They were human. They remembered what they remembered. Some of them might have forgot this detail or got this detail different, whatever, but the teaching is consistent from Genesis to Revelation. God has promised us that. So that's why you can trust the Bible, because it teaches the same. So, brothers and sisters, this is a theme that I always follow, a principle I always follow. If I have to reject or neglect anything that God has said in order to form my position is not correct. Okay? It's always wrong. If I have to reject or neglect anything that God has said to establish my position is always wrong. Okay? Just keep that in mind, because you never have to go against God's own word to know what God has said to follow God's true teaching. And so we're talking about why so many churches. It's not God's fault. God's not confused. It's because we have people who try to use private interpretation of various scriptures instead of letting God teach us to show that the scriptures are 100% consistent. If you find, brothers and sisters, that something you teach is out of consistency with the word of God, just change it, because it's wrong, okay? And this is very, very important. And remember, we talked about vain worship. I don't worship on Sunday because that's a doctrine. It is a doctrine. It's a doctrine, brothers and sisters, that Jesus rose on Sunday morning, and therefore he changed the day of worship on Sunday. And they use a scripture where it talks about they broke bread on Sunday morning or the first day of the week, but they ignored the scripture that says they broke bread every day. So there was no change of the Sabbath, my friend. And so that's why I don't worship on Sunday, because that would be teaching as a doctrine a commandment of man. I would be following and having vain worship. And I don't want to have vain worship. I want to give God all the praise. I don't want to have my worship be vain, that the worship only goes to the top of the ceiling because it's not accepted by heaven because I know better. You see, brothers and sisters, it's real deep. So precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, teaches that whatever you believe, it has to be consistent from Genesis to Revelation. So the Sabbath is actually Saturday. It's not Sunday. That's the day of worship, because the other day of worship comes from a doctrine, which is a commandment of man, and it causes the worship to be vain once you know better. And then I don't believe that when you die, you go straight to heaven or hell, because that's not what the Bible teaches. I'm just picking some things that people believe. I don't believe in a secret rapture, because the Bible says, as the lightning cometh from the east and goes all the way to the west in Matthew 24, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Bible says in Revelation 1:7, every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. Okay, so it's not a secret occasion, brothers and sisters. So I don't believe in a secret rapture, and it wasn't even taught in America, the secret rapture, until really more recent time. And I was before my lifetime, but my life, but it was in recent times. That's not been the Christian theme throughout, because they believed in a glorious coming of Jesus Christ, and that's what the Bible teaches, friends. All right. Now, line upon line. So we understand precept upon precept. Why are there so many churches? Because we don't let the Bible teach us that it's consistent from Genesis to Revelation. So we have private interpretation. I'm going to interpret it the Baptist way. I'm going to interpret it the Methodist way. I'm going to interpret it the Presbyterian way. I'm going to interpret it the Adventist way. And brothers and sisters, you need to study for yourself. All these churches have something. For example, some people believe that all the tithes must go to one place. You study that out, that is not what God said. And that's why those who teach the truth are very little supported, and those who pervert the truth, that's where most of the money goes. But guess what? God is in control of his movement and his church, and he will prosper it, and he will move it forward, brothers and sisters, because he is in control. And so just like in Jesus' time, the majority of the people supported the scribes and the Pharisees, very few supported Jesus, but hit the work, move forward, okay? God is not going to be outdone by the devil. So let's talk about line upon line, okay? Now we're going to go to Psalms 19. Psalm 19, as we talk about line upon line. It says the heavens. And before I go here, I want to ask you a question. What is the world? Well, you would say it's that round thing, okay? Or we might call it spherical, which means it's round with volume like a ball. Well, what is the earth? Not a trick question. It's the same thing. So the earth and the world are the same thing. Let's read. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Psalm 1. This is Psalm 19, verse 1. As we keep reading, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So it says the line has gone out through all the earth, the words to the end of the world. So brothers and sisters, words, line means words. That's all this is establishing, that lines can mean words because their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. So when we understand that, God is telling us that we study and let all the make sure all our teachings are consistent from Genesis to Revelation, being led by the Spirit, because the Bible tells us that the Spirit guides us into all truth in John 16:13. Then it says that when you read a word, a line, the words of a line, they should be consistent with the words above it or below it. Now, in other words, you can't take a phrase out of context and teach a doctrine from it. You have to keep the Bible consistent with what it was teaching before and after, okay? So, and that's what you often see sometimes. People will pull a phrase out of the Bible, and they'll build a whole doctrine on a phrase, taking that phrase out of its context. So the Bible teaches that if you want to understand truth, of course, we've got to be humble, all that stuff we learned two days ago, we've got to be, which I gave in review, we've got to be humble, have a relationship with God, follow Jesus, and be willing to leave our mother church, okay? No matter what it is, we have to be willing to leave our mother church. That doesn't mean you have to leave. If your church teaches the truth, then that's where you stay. But this is to everybody in the world. So it can't just be, oh, that doesn't apply to us. We're Adventists. Oh, that doesn't apply to us. We're Baptists. That doesn't apply to us. No, if it's in the Bible, it applies to you, friends. Okay? And so we don't have to worry. Just teach the truth, and you won't have to worry about your church being a church where people might leave. Just make sure the church is teaching the truth. Okay? All right. So words upon words would mean, again, that you would read a verse and consider what's above it and what's below it. So if you wanted to see that I can't really think of an example right now, but there are examples. There's a verse where they say, you know, two are grinding at the meal, one shall be taken, the other left, okay? And they pull that out of context and say that, well, that's the secret rapture. No, but if you read the whole context, it would tell you as it was in the days of Noah, you see. That means that this was global. Everybody saw it. It wasn't anything secret, you see. So you, by taking it out of its context, you can build a doctrine on one was taken, the other left. That's going to be all the way, all the time, brothers and sisters. Some are going to be saved and others lost. That's all that means. That's all it means. It's not anything secret. There's nothing secret about one is taken, the other left. Two of it's going to be co-workers split up, some saved, some lost. There's going to be family split up, some saved, some lost. Okay? That's all that means. There was nothing in that verse that said they are secretly taken and secretly left or anything like that. But we interpret it that way because of that teaching, you see. All right. So if we follow these basic principles, brothers and sisters, we are guaranteed that, and that's Matthew 24, verse 40, by the way, where two are grinding at the meal, so on and so forth. One is taken, the other left. All right. God is good. So this is why there's so many churches, because we have private interpretation and we allow these private interpretations and doctrines that, and we teach as doctrines the commandments of men, That's why you have so many churches. And as we study, we pick a verse and we take it out of its context. You know, one of the things that is often done to support the secret rapture is that the 70-week prophecy, which brings you, which is part of the 2300-day prophecy, which brings you to 1844, but it also brought you to the time of Christ and shows the time of his, the date, not date, but it's the year of his baptism, the year of his death, and the year that the apostles would primarily take the gospel to the Gentiles. They take all 69 weeks, then they take that 70-week, pull it out of context, and throw it to the end of the world and say that, that's when Antichrist is going to come, so on and so forth. You can't do that. You're pulling a verse out of its context. You had 69 weeks, and then you have the next week is 70. What right do you have to pull that out of its prophetic context and ship it to the end of the world? That doesn't make sense, but that's what they have to do in order to justify that teaching. All right, going back, brothers and sisters, that's what it says in the Bible. And then it says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. I leave you with 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. Let's just go there real quickly. Because it teaches that as you study, you let the Bible explain itself. It says, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So what do? We only compare the spiritual things with other spiritual things. We compare scripture with scripture. We don't let the dictates of man, words of the conference president, words of the president of the Mormon church, words of the bishop, words of the conference or whatever, take the place of the truth, brothers and sisters. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. We let the Bible explain itself, and that's what happens. If people would do this, we would all arrive at the same truth, and we'd all be in the same church. Did you know that? We'd all arrive at the same truth, and we would all be in the same church. So may God bless you and keep you today and cause his face to shine upon you. With so many churches, is God confused? No. The confusion comes because we don't study the Word of God the way we ought. My brothers and sisters, let's keep incarcerated people in prayer. We have some friends that we know specifically that need to come out of jail. Let's keep them in prayer that the Lord would deliver them. And we pray that you'll be blessed on this holy Sabbath day. We will not be in a position and able to have a Sabbath service on this day. So this was our Sabbath service. So enjoy the rest of your Sabbath, my brothers and sisters, and let's meet together on tomorrow morning for worship. And then some of you will be meeting tomorrow late morning for our class on the skeletal system. So that's how the weekend's going to go. If we get a chance to put up the spiritual class on, which is free, on the skeletal system and the plan of redemption, just look for it. Those of you on WhatsApp, we'll announce it there. We'll post it on the Torso website. All right, friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for the truth. We thank you for the love that you have. And we thank you very much for just blessing us to know what is truth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, at this time, my wife and I will repeat the fourth commandment. I'll let her begin.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the 7 days is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor the daughter, nor the son, nor the daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that's within their gates, for in six days the Lord made heaven and earth, and rested on the 7 days. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day.
And hallowed it. Amen. Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. God bless you. And it's time now for our closing song. I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will.